Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
You're such a tease. You're trying to.
I just love paying.
But you don't really know how to read a room.
Do I not?
You really don't.
You just fucking do.
No, I'm better. But I did sort of cross the line as well. There's times I do that too. Anyway, but how are you?
Yes, I'm well. I've just finished lots of renoing stuff on the gardens up at my place, which has been fantastic. So I put in a huge fire pit and a massive shed and stuff like that, which is awesome. We mulched.
Who's we?
Did a bit of manual labor, got some welts on my hands.
Who's we?
SLE, earth moving.
Basically. Okay, so not you.
Not me.
Okay.
I was drawing drawings and pointing places.
Pointing. Yeah. I can see you doing
and
that.
And also I have a great shed company. If anybody wants a shed company in Perth, it is, I think it's called Martin's Sheds.
I actually wouldn't trust that in the slightest.
No, it's not Martin's.
Exactly.
Sorry, Martin's the guy I was with earlier. It's Roy's Sheds.
Really?
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, my God.
What a shed.
If you could get the name right, I'm sure
Roy's
it would be
shed.
Fantastic.
Yeah, anyway.
What song are you singing today?
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can help falling in love with you. Fucking great song, isn't it?
It's a good
song. Oh, Elvis, hey?
Elvis and lots of other people have sung that song too.
Well, I think it was Elvis' song though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So what are we talking about?
Well, I don't know. You dragged me in here to fucking do a podcast. What are we talking about?
Dude. We do this together.
I was busy cleaning out there.
You were
moving
actually.
Moving things around.
You were actually. We're just doing a bit of a spring clean here at the office.
Yeah. You've got to be able to do everything in life. Do you know what I mean? You got to be able to do it. You got to clean the toilets, you know what I mean, as well as fly with the eagles.
You got to be able to do it all.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was really profound. Thank you for that. The reason that we're chatting today. We've got a little bit of an audience
was
today.
Was to excrete more wisdom.
Was to, yes, absolutely. No, so why we wanted to talk is it's been on my mind for a while. We have to talk about the financial cycles and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't believe we've spoken about it on the podcast very much, so mm-hmm. I just wanted to talk about it because, you know, I do my Wealth Principles calls every month, and the last month I was talking to everybody about, you know, managing their finances and making sure they're prepared for what's to come and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so this last week or so I've had a few emails of people going, Mills, can you explain what's to come a bit more in depth? And I went, well, the best person to probably explain that is you. And then also
that was me in shock.
Was it?
Yeah. Why? I'm probably not the best. What I mean is
you can talk into it in terms of our, you know, the law of mastery, build, maintain and disperse and the fact that everything goes in cycles and how we know that around this time there's stuff that's going to go down. But everyone already knows that anyway based on what's happening around the world anyway.
Yeah.
But talk a little bit about into that if you could, little bit about what you see from your perspective and from you as a property developer, someone who just keeps your focus and makes sure that you're always protected and all that sort of stuff. Can you just talk a little bit about it?
Well, yes. So basically financial cycles happen every 7 years. So they go through a build, a maintain and a disperse phase.
So 7 years of build, 7 years of maintain,
seven years of disperse. And so you can map that through time. So every 21 years we have what people perceive to be a global financial crisis. And what the masses call a global financial crisis, and the definition of the word crisis in Chinese, is opportunity. Its meaning is opportunity. So one of the things we say all the time, so GFCs happen every 21 years. So everybody thought we had a GFC in 2008. But if you track that back 21 years, 1987, we had the same thing, 1966, 1945, and you can track these GFCs and these cycles through time. So we are, 2022 is the emergence of what's called a destruction phase or a crisis. And so the crises and the destruction phases last about 7 years. Then it'll go through a maintain phase again. Then it'll
go through a
build phase again. And then it'll go through a maintain phase and so on and so forth. So that's...
I think as well, when I was talking about the fact that that was happening on the call, people are like, destruct, oh my God, and everyone panics. And that's not the purpose of it. It's just to understand that that's what's actually happening.
Let's use a different word. We'll call it disperse.
Yep.
So disbursement happens in order of importance. So disbursement in 2022 for 7 years would not be the same as disbursement in, for example, let's say 1994. They're not going to be the same thing. So disbursements happen and they get more evolved as they go through. So you're watching a couple of really, really, really extraordinary things happen right now. And one of them is the emergence of a new currency while you're alive. That is insane.
Crypto.
Cryptocurrency. And cryptocurrency, as much as it's volatile, and when these currencies come into play, when any currency is created and it comes into play, it also is volatile in its beginnings. You know, whether it's the emergence of plastics, whether it's the emergence of stocks and bonds, whether it's the emergence of metals, it's always volatile in its beginning. History tells us that. But when you see the largest investment companies on the planet pouring money into these currencies and these cryptocurrencies, these digital currencies, and it's just an evolution of an exchange of light, you know. They go from heavy metals to papers, papers to plastics, plastics to electromagnetic particles of light. That's the evolution of money through time. So they have to evolve anyway. So they never become more primitive, because consciousness doesn't become primitive. We're not becoming apes. So they become more evolved. So we're watching the emergence of a new type of currency. You're watching countries now adopt their own version of that cryptocurrency. So China is creating its own version. America will create its own version. You'll see it happen through Europe. It'll happen everywhere. But Bitcoin is right now is the coin.
Standard.
It is the standard coin. Everything is measured off that. So
I don't understand. What has that got to do with the destruction phase? In this time.
So that'll fluctuate. So destruction phase is money. Are you all right?
Yeah, I am. I'm just hot. I might just turn the air conditioner on.
Yeah, anyway. So you watch destruction phase is just, you know, it's just an ebb and flow, peaks and troughs. Da, 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 da. That's what those destruction phases are. So
and it's material. What you're saying, though, is it's materializing now differently because of the fact that we've also got the emergence of new currencies. Yeah, got it.
So
yep.
And the purpose of these ebbs and flows, just for people to understand, is evolution. You know, it's when we panic and we try to hold on to old states, that's when it becomes problematic. So what I see, and what, you know, people who understand the history, and I don't claim to understand money. All I'm talking about is within my very limited time period of being a developer or an investor and studying some of this stuff and researching some of this stuff. I have my own knowledge, which I'm just passing on here, but I'd say to anybody, don't follow what I'm telling you to do. And because I'm not licensed to give you that advice or do anything like that, you got to get your own advice on this. But for me, I see that when you have interest rates starting to rise, you know, your first rise, it has a murmur, second, it has a more of a murmur, third, that's when you have to pay attention. So it's at that point where you're having to pay attention. So you know that there's what goes up has to come down. And as it comes down, people will be selling off. You want to be at that point buying. So you want to have yourself in a cash buoyant position to be able to take advantage of what is happening in the financial markets as those things happen. So when Bitcoin does a huge drop, everybody panics and starts selling off. Well, I can tell you, if you look at the buying behavior of the large conglomerates, that's when they come in and they sweep up all of mom and pop's money or mom and pop's Bitcoin. And their wallets grow bigger.
So basically what we're saying then is that the destruction phase is or the build phase or the maintain phase is what the masses experience on a global scale.
Yeah.
So
because the masses are the market.
Yes.
You know, the masters aren't the market.
And it's not about, it's not a derogatory term. It's just basically saying most people will follow along with the trend that's happening. So if...
So what they do is they follow the trend of their neighbour.
Yes.
You understand?
So when the price, like people are, there's a time when everybody's selling. Yeah. And when everybody's selling and the masses are selling...
Yeah.
That's when the masters are prepared to buy.
Are getting ready
to buy. So they've
prepared
themselves in the previous phase so that they can be ready to buy.
So this is the beginning of a 7-year phase.
Yes.
So this is really, for me, when my objective is to get cash buoyant.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So that I can take...
So as soon as an opportunity arises, you can actually take,
advantage of that right. opportunity. So but I want to say something else there. So sorry, come on, you're going
to
say something.
No, I just wanted to make sure to make sure that it was understood then that the cycles are what when we talk about it, we're talking about on a global scale, we're experiencing build phases, maintain phases and disperse phases.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about getting ready and preparing myself and making sure I'm – now, we've been doing this since we started teaching the wealth principles back in 2004, I think we started teaching them, right? So we've been teaching this for like almost 20 years now about making sure that you're prepared at any turn in life. You've got – that's why our savings. That's why we set up the savings the way we've set them up, right? And I think that for a long time, even though we had the global financial crisis, even though we had all those things happen in between, I don't think people really took stock, including myself, of how beneficial the wealth principles were until COVID hit.
Yeah.
Because when that happened – everyone started panicking, but the people who had done what we'd said and had the money set up in that way were not in that same position because they were buoyant. They had cash. They had the stability that they needed in terms of their finances.
Well, can I just say what they had was, which is really important, and that this dawned on me this morning in a meeting that I had with a company that I've just bought into.
Yeah.
And what they had was a system.
Yes.
So the system creates your cash floaters. The system delegates where the money goes. They're not emotional about anything. Does that make sense? So people sometimes think, well, I have a system, which is what was said to me today. And this chap that I've just bought into partnership with said to me, you know, I get what you guys are talking about. And he said to me, Mitch, I've been following a system, but I've still been emotional. Because
that's not the true use of a system. Because when you're following a system, you're not emotional.
You're not emotional. So therefore, people think, well, what system do I follow? I'm following a system, but I'm still emotional. And the problem there is that you're following a system that is based on what you think is right. And you have to understand what you think is right. If that is creating emotion around debt and bills and everything else, then your system is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, what I would say there is that the system doesn't follow the laws of nature.
That's right.
So it's a system that it's kind of it's more, most people, when you talk to them about money, just for example, and sorting out their personal finances, they're following a system that gets them by.
Yeah.
So they're following a system maybe that they've picked up from somebody, parents, or situations have taught them to follow this particular system this particular way, or other things that they've got this system in place which helps them to stay comfortable and to get them past and help them to cope with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't have a system that actually follows the laws of nature that asks them to put a demand on themselves, to push themselves. So you're right that our people, the ones that didn't have the problem during COVID, those are the ones that had a system. They followed the laws of nature. They understood why they were putting those savings aside. They understood why they weren't to touch those savings and how those savings were going to benefit them down the track.
And yes, that's right. Yep. And that doesn't take from the people who have had the discipline to follow a system.
No, of course not.
What it means is that, and it's what I saw this morning with this chap, is that he was wise enough, intelligent enough, and self-aware and smart enough to know that he had the discipline to follow the system, but he just wasn't following the right one. Yeah. He was following what he taught.
Which is fair, which is all you can do with what you know.
Yeah, so it's one of the things that we realized a long time ago when I started to realize that this thing was cyclical was that nature is cyclical. So we have seasons. They're cyclical. And nature's way, nature has a coordinate system.
Mm-hmm.
It has a system whereby it coordinates what has to happen mm-hmm. at a certain time, yep. which is like it orchestrates what has to mm-hmm. happen at a certain time. So, and what nature doesn't worry about nature. You know, it's nature is not concerned about itself. And nature and its coordinate system, we know, what because we're here, has stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So therefore, we worked out a long time ago, isn't it fucking wise to work out what that system is? And if nature is following, if nature's coordinate system is following a system, well, that system has to be governed by something, which is nature. So all matter is governed by nature. So therefore, if we understand how matter is governed, meaning the laws, like the law of gravity, the law of conservation, the law of transformation, if we understand those laws and how they apply to matter, well, money is just matter. You just follow those same that same system and how it applies to money, and you've made a system that is foolproof, that will stand the test of time. And what we also know is that the reason people are emotional around money is because they're going against nature.
Yes.
And so therefore, people get burnt when they hold their hand over flame because they're going against nature. And the degree to which they experience an injury is dependent on the degree to which they hold their hand over the flame and how long they fucking do it for.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the time, people are ignoring that pain. And they don't ignore it deliberately. They ignore it because they don't know the right way. Mm-hmm. As soon as you show them the right way, they're like a dog to a bone. They're like, fuck, that just makes it so much easier. It just makes so much sense. And the system to following money is so simple.
Yes, it is. But I think that
what's difficult is your old habits creeping in.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I think that people, like, for example, the people I was talking to on the last call, they all are following the system.
Yeah.
And even though everybody makes mistakes and everyone, you know, drops bits or forgets something or moves things around and in ways that cause perhaps, you know, a ripple mm-hmm. effect,
yeah.
there you can see that they're there because they're on the calls, they're wanting to learn more, et cetera. So then when I'm dropping this in and I'm saying, okay, we've got to be prepared, this is what we're doing, it's now the next level of that.
Yeah.
So the first level of that is to sort out the individual cycle in terms of your own finances
yeah.
and using a system to manage your emotions around that. And when you can do that over time and you've proved that you can do that, right,
mm-hmm.
That's important because what you do is you create a certain stability for yourself.
Right.
But then I think I threw a spanner in the works when I was telling them about the fact that we've got to prepare ourselves for what's happening now. So basically what I was trying to say is that now it's the next level. I'm actually just coming to understand what I was actually trying to say to everyone on the last call is that it's kind of like the next level. Sure, you've sorted out this level, but now how can you protect your assets? How can you diversify your investments? How can you step it up to the next level so that you are prepared? And just like I was saying that I'm doing the same thing as you, selling some properties here and doing things
yeah.
so that when it's time, I can be ready for when everybody else is wanting to sell at a lower rate and I could be able to be prepared to buy, right? So people are asking to do that. Now, I think that the first thing I'll say is that if you've got a system in place like the Wealth Principles, you're well ahead of the game anyway,
yeah.
right? Because there's so many people that don't actually have that, right? They don't have a system in place. They don't have savings in place.
Yeah.
I'm getting messages really regularly now. There was one just this morning from somebody in the Inspire Life group, I think it was, just saying that they hit 44% of their total savings,
wow.
which I'm like, that's so cool.
Very good.
But it's also about what happens and what runs behind that, and that you're putting the demand on yourself, and then you're always looking for, improve, you know, putting that demand on yourself, improving, setting yourself up in the most appropriate way. And sometimes you need extra help to do that. Do you know what I mean? You don't do it on your own.
No.
You don't do any of that on your own. Nope. You have financial planners helping you. You have accountants helping you. You have you've got heaps of people around you that are going to help you to do that. And everybody needs a team to be able to help them to do that at the end of the day.
This is a very, very important point. If you're trying to do it on your own, you've got a dictatorship. You haven't got a democracy.
Well, you, yeah.
Because you're dictating to yourself and you're having to lie to yourself because you're trying to tell yourself that you have what it takes to do it on your own.
I think that what happens, though, is people defer to the expertise of the financial planners or the accountants and they don't take charge.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens is that people, if they don't have their own wealth principles in place and they don't have a system inside to understand this is my goal, this is my outcome, then they will defer to what somebody else says and then you might as well have not had the system in the first place.
Mm.
You have those people around you but you're still in charge. Like when you go into the accountants, you don't go, hey, what do you think? You go, this is what I want to do. How do we do it?
Yeah.
How's the best way to do that? Mm. And then if it's a massive, massive, massive red flag, they will let you know. Mm. Or if they will let you know what things to look out for in the meantime. But at the end of the day, you're still in charge. I think that it's brought me back to the meeting we had with Dr. Dave, you know, the call we had with Dr. Dave.
Yeah.
When you go to the doctor is there because you're leaning in on his expertise. But at the end of the day, you're the best advisor for your own health.
Yeah.
It's the same with your finances. You're leaning in on the financial planners and the accountants and everybody around you for your expertise, but you should be the master of your own health in terms of your finances. 100%.
This is again part of the conversation that I had this morning with this business partner. And he said to me, you know what? I bought into the fact that someone had said to me, hey, I've got this accountant. You should try him. He's got 40 years experience in being an accountant. And, you know, I've used them for 10 years, right? So what happens for people is they fucking automatically subordinate to the time that they think they don't realize that accountant could have been a fucking clown for 40 years. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Could have fucking left a burning trail of fucking broke mothers and fathers and business owners. You just don't know. You have to feel. You know, when I go in to sit down with the accountants, I don't ask them to subordinate to me. We work together.
Mm-hmm.
They fucking love sitting around the table with me. They're like, every time you come in here, it's so interesting, you know, how you see things, how you put things together, how you think, you know, and I look at them and I say the same thing. Like, I love how you guys help me make this happen and help me see it this way, you know, and it's a funny thing because, you know, what comes out of that is a desire to unify and you know, to grow together. But what happens, it's like the person who walks into the bank teller and subordinates to the bank teller. You know, like, oh, can you give me my money? You fucking earned that money. That money's in that bank. You don't subordinate to them.
Yeah.
You got to tell them what to do with your money. If you go in there, can I open it? I had clients coming in going, oh, this bank wouldn't let me open my 7 bank accounts. I'm like, fucking shoot them and move to another bank.
Go to another bank.
Go to another bank. What are you fucking talking about? These guys are obviously chimps. Just fucking move to another bank. Or else drag the fucking bank manager out by the ear and sit his ass down and tell him what the bank teller just, you know, that's what, that's, you have to be able to first off.
You've got to get clear on who you are.
Know who you are. Know you have put the time into earning that money.
Mm-hmm.
And you deserve to have a system in place that allows you to bulletproof yourself and your finances going forward and take advantage of the markets when the markets open up things to take advantage of.
Boom. That's exactly the message that of this podcast at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Know yourself and then be prepared to take advantage of the best opportunities. And when you can sit outside of when you can sit outside of the stuff that's happening around you and you can look above it, you then can become a master of that whole principle of build, maintain and disperse.
Totally.
You're not in the build. You're not in the maintain. You're not in the disperse. I've been talking to my own personal coaching clients about that, right?
Yeah.
You're not in the build. You're not in the maintain or the disperse. You're sitting above it like an apex of the triangle 3D and you can see all of the others at play and you can manipulate at will instead of being caught in the fact, I've got to sell, I've got to sell, I've got to buy, I've got to buy, or any of that stuff. You can sit above it and you can go, this is the best outcome for me.
You know, the other thing is if you got to see it like this, if you're not taking advantage of the markets like the masters, then the masters are taking advantage of you like you're the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking so important for people to understand that.
Yeah.
That if you have to become the master of your money. And it's easy. Like it is, honestly, I just sit and I look at it and I think, fucking people just don't know how easy it is. And how painful it is not knowing the system.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? That's been available to them forever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's right under your nose. You just haven't seen it. And a lot of the time, that's because people have a loyalty to the poverty mentality of the lineage that they came from. And they don't realize, oh, no, my mum did it this way, my dad did it that way. Well, how did they go? You know, if they made millions of dollars and you're financially, you know, free, well, then fantastic. But if they made an arse of it, man, you know, wake up. You might be following the wrong fucking idea. Does that make sense? The other thing I wanted to say as well is that we touched on this the other day with a couple of mates of ours who we love very much. But we were in the house and they were having a conversation about one of the partners going, you know, I just want us to be equal. Do you remember this? I just want us to be equal in the relationship. And I kind of feel like he earns all the money. And I'm and money just comes to him, and
I do this part over
and I
here.
Do this part, and I, you know, I've got all the degrees, and I do the and I work.
I organize the money.
I organize the money, and she was saying, I just want us to be equal, and I said, but you have to understand what equal is, because if you're trying to be like him, then what happens is you're creating two of him, and none of you. And if you understand the purpose of equals, equals is A plus B equals C. And C is what the relationship. 2 + 3 = 5. And 5 is what the relationship is. But if you're trying to, if you're 3 and you're trying to be 2, then you got a fucking problem.
Yep.
Because you're trying to be something that you're never going to be.
So that's a really good lesson for people in relationships and the people, because a lot of people, I deal with this all the time, combining their finances, low self-worth when they bring their finances together, and understanding what both of you bring to the table equals a relationship. But it's also really good to understand that you are not the, like, you couldn't do everything you've done unless you had that team around you that provided the other things. And as a result of that, you get to have that outcome. So it's true for relationships, but it's also true for the relationships you build around you and the team, with the team that you have around you, which is really, really good.
Yeah, I
think that's good. I think we got the message across. Do you feel like that was everything that we needed
to say? That was great. I love talking about that stuff.
Me too. I can tell you got fired up at the end there.
Oh, all right.
You did.
That's all right. Do you think I got much more fired up left in me?
That wasn't funny.
No, I'm just saying.
It wasn't funny. No, we're going to stop there.
My hair is white.
That wasn't funny.
Why?
It wasn't funny.
Why?
Hey, whether this is you at the beginning of your personal development journey or you're perhaps immersed in your growth and transformation, at MJB Seminars, we have everything to help you live an inspired life.
If this episode resonated and you're looking for more information on how to have an actual breakthrough and transform your life, visit us over at mjbseminars.com.au and book yourself in for a complimentary discovery coaching call.
Also, make sure you like and follow us over on Instagram and Facebook, and review and subscribe to Dorothy and the Dealer today.